Uh-oh. We weren't paying attention.
Whoops.
We, you know, it's Facebook, the internet.
Yes.
For 3 days straight. It has been a little bit wacky, but here we are. We don't know if we're getting blocked. We don't know if we're getting throttled. We don't know what's happening, but it's interesting either way. And I don't mean to not be looking at you as I'm trying to sort through these. I just want to find the right one. Oh, I did it. I see. Got the wrong one. There we go.
There we are. That's Andy. This is Hetty.
Yes. What a day. Service today. I cannot wait to go through the recap of today's service, but we have to get to the devotional.
Yes.
Because that's the title of our thing is the day.
Let's is the
daily devotional. So we'll jump right into that. Go to the livingfearlessdevotional.com. That takes you to the Apple Podcast location for our podcast. Make sure and like, look, my hair is a little jacked up. Why do you tell me? What's going on?
I try not to pay attention to it because otherwise I'll be playing with my hair the whole time.
Oh my gosh, a lot of good you are to me right now.
I was supposed to be set designer.
You're supposed to be my part set designer, the set of my head. All right. This is an appropriate. Oh, we talked about love today at lunch. We talked about it last night.
Yes.
In the middle of the night, we talked about it. So this is a really important devotional for us. We hope that we can steer it so that it's meaningful to you and we don't get all hung up on ourselves. Do you really love him? This, of course, is from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And the title is Do You Really Love Him? The reference is Mark 14:6. She has done a good work for me. If what we call love doesn't take us beyond ourselves, it is not really love. If we have the idea that love is characterized as cautious, wise, sensible, shrewd, and never taken to extremes, we have missed the true meaning. This may describe affection and it may bring us a warm feeling, but it is not a true and accurate description of love. Have you ever been driven to something for God, not because you felt that it was useful or your duty to do so, or there was anything in it for you, but simply because you love him? Have you ever realized that you can give things to God that are of value to him? Or are you just sitting around daydreaming about the greatness of his redemption while neglecting all the things you could be doing for him? Wow, that's a powerful thing. I just read it so differently in my mind. I'm not referring to works which could be regarded as divine and miraculous, but ordinary, simple human things, things which would be evidence to God that you are totally surrendered to him. Have you ever created that? Have you ever created what Mary of Bethany created in the heart of the Lord Jesus? She has done a good work for me. There are times when it seems as if God watches to see if we will give him even small gifts of surrender, just to show how genuine our love is for him. To be surrendered to God is of more value than our personal holiness. Concern over our personal holiness causes us to focus our eyes on ourselves, and we become overly concerned about the way we walk and talk and look out of our fear of offending God. But perfect love casts out fear. Once we are surrendered to God, we should quit asking ourselves, am I of any use? And accept the truth that we really are not of much use to him. The issue is never of being of use, but of being of value to God himself. Once we are totally surrendered to God, we will work through us. He will work through us all the time. Should I read the bottom part? It's actually pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah. So we have Wisdom for Oswald, which is the bottom of some of these pages. Sometimes they seem to relate and other times I'm not really sure. But this one seems to. The Bible is a relation of facts, the truth of which must be tested. Life may go on all right for a while, but when suddenly a bereavement comes or some crisis, unrequited love or a new love, a disaster, a business collapse or a shocking sin, and we turn up our Bibles again and God's word comes straight home and we say, why, I never saw that there before. That is like almost every devotional that I do. It happens to me all the time. Like, oh, why did I've read that passage? I've discussed that package in small groups, in men's groups, but it never hit me. Before.
I love watching those light bulb moments.
Yeah, you. That's awesome. Let's talk about Mary of Bethany, right?
Yes.
What you were telling me about that.
Well, when she came in to see Jesus, it was before the crucifixion, and she took a very expensive jar of perfume that was very valuable if it was sold or traded, and she instead just cracked it open and poured it on him. Mm-hmm. And the disciples were just shocked that she would waste this expensive perfume on that that act. And he scolded them and told them, no, she has done a great work for me, because it was her display of affection and adoration. And the fact that she wanted to anoint his head with oil, with the most expensive oil, like she didn't care about the value of it or the utility of the act. It was a pure devotional act.
Was she a woman of means?
She was a woman of, I mean, not extremely wealthy. It wasn't like it was a discardable amount of money. It was a lot for her too. She wasn't, it wasn't dispensable. It was precious to her too. Mm. I mean, that's the way I've heard scholars describe it.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to give an example in that way. Let me think of something else. I mean, there's times where so there was this time, I know this family needed some money, and I was broke. I was hurting. I'm not trying to say this to make it one of those things, but it was one of those moments where God took over and said,
oh, I've had those moments.
You know, I was flat broke. I couldn't afford gas, but I had $300 in my visor. And this family was trying to get a child. They were trying to adopt from China. And they had gone broke trying to make this happen. Mm. And I just thought, I can find money another time. But it was God. That's not me. Listen, in most cases, I would have said, I'm going to keep this fair dog. I'm going to go have sushi.
Right?
But that moment where God takes over does happen. In the times when I wasn't as close to God as I am now. That there's that moment, like I said, listen, this family really needs us right now. And the kid needed a transplant. The kid was going to possibly die. Wow. I mean, there's a whole lot riding on them getting to China to get this child. They were trying to adopt the child. They were adopting a sick child. Wow. Knowing that the child was sick. And they couldn't afford to get to China. That so much had happened. They got there one time and all the papers weren't correct. It's one of those things they're trying to get, you know, they just mess with you. They mess with you. It's like crazy.
A difficult process.
And that, I'm so lucky God. It was all in God's hands. Everything I handed all over to him. They were able to get that child, home. That's and get beautiful. The operation. And the child is amazing now. The child is amazingly healthy.
Oh,
yeah. The child would have died. But again, I'm not, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with that moment where God says, hey.
God's done that to me a couple times. Mm. Some very intense times. One in which I actually had an argument in my head with God at the time. I was like, really? That's a lot of money, Lord. And he literally forced me to recite a number to somebody, knowing full well that if I was given even 30 seconds to retract it and not do it, I would have. So I hear you. For me, one of the greatest lessons I'm learning in Christ is unconditional love, because I've described this to you before. To me, love was transactional. Yeah. It was as he described in the devotional, which was it's measured, it's calculated, it's shrewd. And I'm just learning to love without any of that, and to love not only Christ, but to love you, or at least try to love you that way. It's an amazing experience.
Maybe it is. And at the beginning, I told you this was going to be hard not to bring us up. There's just no way.
Hopefully it helps people.
Yeah, there's no way around it. But again, I come to a place where this could not have happened without God being in our lives and walking with Jesus Christ. I'm talking this like months before I met you. I mean, I was already doing these devotionals. So he was working on me. I'm going to play a clip from today's service that it's exact. What he's describing is exactly what I was going through just prior to meeting you, the months leading up to meeting you. That the position he has put me in at the perfect moment when we were standing in line for us to meet and for us to we continued, I think, to grow even after that. Like we weren't completely done. We were towards the end of the baking process.
Oh, we're still baking.
Yeah. and the goodness was really starting to come around because there's so many things that I'm doing now that I do with you and the way we talk to one another. And even when we have moments where we disagree or have a little bit of a tense moment, we recover. Every time that happens, we recover quicker and quicker and quicker, mostly because of you, mostly because you decide this is it or this isn't worth it. And I go, yes, it is. You go, no, it's not. And then I go, okay, you're right. Working together, doing these devotions together, I have a history of not being able to work well with others because it's either my way or the highway. And if you don't do it my way, then I'm tired. I leave. And I fired people that have been really close to me.
I can see that.
Not in a drink. Just say, hey, this isn't working out. Or I just slowly kind of phase them out. Like, just like, I'm not going to tell them they're fired. I'm just going to stop using them.
That's an easy way of doing it.
Yeah. But the L-O-V-E is so different. The love of God, the love of our church, the love of our pastor, the love that we have for each other, the love for our children. I mean, it really is now, again, it is a super dynamic color where before it was kind of off focus.
Well, love before him was loving for what you can get out of it, right? Mm. It was like, oh, yeah. Is this suiting me? Is this
transactional?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this suiting me? No, not really. And yeah. I think I should move on. But loving in Christ or with his direction and purpose creates a whole new dynamic in a relationship.
Yeah. Learn so much from God. And again, I know I'm repeating myself. I do it all the time. But just everything can be found in the book.
Yes.
The book.
The book. The infallible living word of God. Anybody who says otherwise is false.
Is crazy.
Crazy.
It's super crazy. What else do we have from this before we move on to our recap of today's service? Today's service was spectacular.
Well, I think that they kind of go hand in hand.
Really?
So I think so. Because basically, as we're going to go through with what Jack said, is that when you accept Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you stop doing things and you start letting him do them through you. Hmm. And so I think what Oswald's trying to teach us is you are really of value to God when you are surrendered to God, because then he can move you like a marionette, like the puppeteer.
Yeah. Yeah.
To accomplish what he needs done. And you stop using your mind. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Wait a minute, why are we doing that? Why the carpet? I like the carpet. Are you going to play that clip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just important, and Andy's going to play some of the clips, that you surrender that to him. And you may never see the wisdom of why God makes you do certain things, but you are of value to him when you're surrendered for his purposes.
So funny. I used to be a magician, did magic, juggled. Yes. I also had marionettes.
And so
when you said that, I used to have these marionettes, and when I would go to get them out, they'd be all tangled and their feet would be up by their face and their other arm would be like that, and the strings would be all in a knot, and I couldn't get them. It's like I can't work the marionette because it's
see that
I was a tied up, jumbled up marionette. All right, I see people watching. Comment if you get a chance, just to say hi. And if you were at service today, if there's something about today's devotional that you want to discuss or throw your two cents at, please go ahead and comment. That would be awesome. I love it when you guys comment. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to bring up the first little bit of church today. And it's Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. You can find it on YouTube and Facebook. Jack Hibbs is the pastor. And Jack Hibbs, you could do a search of him. And
reallife.com.
Reallife.com. And an amazing pastor. And today he was just on fire. I know I say that a lot, but I was in the front row thinking I may have to put him up. I may have to tell him to roll. You're on fire, bro. Let's go.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, stop, drop, and roll. All right. So this is the first clip, and my notes are covered up. Here we go. He's talking about Jesus being nailed to the cross, and the thought that we think of it as him being nailed to, two pieces of wood, but that's not really the case. And this was the first time I cried in service, not the first time ever, just the first time today. There were several moments, but this is one of those moments. Again, what happens to me, and let me tell you why I get a little bit watery eyed, is that it's that moment of, wow.
The sacrifice,
the magnitude. It's just amazing. So let's listen to what he has to say. I'm going to try to keep it short. Hold on.
Killed, his death kills you. And Jesus goes to the cross, and listen, he nails himself to my sin. That's what he was doing at the cross. That's why Paul is able to say what he says: I have been crucified with Christ. My sin was on that cross, Paul is saying. Watch this. And Jesus got on that cross and he took my sin. But that's only part of it. Jesus Christ and I became one as he saved me, and I became a follower of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. What a tremendous statement of truth. And by the way, when you were crucified, your crime was put over your head. Did you know that? If you're crucified, they have a placard, and they would nail your offense. If you committed thievery or rape or murder in the Roman Empire or whatever it was, your sentencing was put on a plate and was put over your head, and you were nailed to the cross. So people walked by, they saw what stealing does to someone. And it was understood.
So that's where he's describing that part of it, where, and is Paul who's speaking?
Yes.
And Paul speaking about, you know, it's just explaining that you have to understand what he truly died for. We think, you know, in many cases, which is not false, that he was tortured, you know, part of him being nailed to the cross was part of that torture, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he voluntarily, was crucified.
Yes.
For our sins.
And to be crucified with Christ is literally imagining that our sins, by him attaching himself to our sins on that cross, were nailed together. Mm. And it's, yes, really profound.
I know. And then he was going on to say, and I just cut it off because it's hard for me to stop, Jack. It's hard to hit the stop button. But I realized that he was going to go into a little bit of a description there. But the sign above said King of the Jews.
Yes.
Not murderer, not, you know, Republican.
No.
Not any, just King
of
the Jews.
His crime was dying for us.
And they didn't want him to be the King of the Jews.
And they didn't want him. Exactly. Wow. Today, people don't want him to be.
Oh, my gosh.
People still don't want him to be king. People still don't want him to be Lord of your life. People are like, yeah, I accept the Jesus. I go to church on Sundays, but I don't want him to be Lord, because being Lord means he takes over. Mm.
Jack talked about the pastor in Canada.
Yes.
He's going to go to court, and they're going to decide whether they jail him for keeping his
church open. Exactly.
And that's one of those examples. I mean, they're using it as a reason, the COVID. They're using that as a reason to close the churches. But in Canada in particular, they say that there are pastors that are even for the jailing of that pastor.
Yes.
It is wacky.
Isn't it?
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even fathom.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, we're realizing we're getting a couple different things happening to us right now in this world of Christianity. And one of them is that issue. We have other churches around California that are not being allowed to open, and other pastors that are saying, yeah, we're not going to open up our church either, but they're also failing financially.
Yes.
And then we had this church, I don't know, call it a church, where they don't, they said the Bible's wrong.
Right.
And they're not using the Bible as.
Exactly.
As
false teachers, false teaching.
Yep. All right. And this next one, this is one that both Hattie and I really loved. And this is what I was referencing when I was talking earlier of what was happening to me. And we're just going to let it roll. And yes. you can
see if it's happened to you.
Yeah. it's actually pretty, it's pretty humorous. And then it's pretty serious. All right. Oops. Sorry. I didn't change it over. That would have been really bad. There we go.
It's moving on. It's progressing, the transformation. But it happened. It happened in a moment. And what did happen? I woke up to the realization that there was an old Jack living for himself, and there needed to be a new Jack. And the new Jack couldn't do anything for himself but cry out to God. Can you do that? Whoever you might be, can you do that? So I don't know if I can do this Christian thing. You don't do this Christian thing. The Holy Spirit takes the Bible and does it to you. And boy, can he do it. Let me tell you. You want to open up the door of your life to Jesus? Put on your helmet. Put a mouthpiece in. And hang on. You want to know why? Because when you invite him in, you voice doubt. I don't know if God exists. I don't know if God's real or not. Why don't you ask him to come into your life? Cleanse you of your sins. Transform your mind and your heart. And you do that sincerely? Oh, yeah, you better hang on. Because you know what? Jesus is so sweet. He walks in. He walks into the foyer of your life. And then he looks around and he'll say, I'm going to start in that room right there. You know, like Chip and Joanna Gaines. They can take this dump of a room and make it into, what is that? Jesus goes into your room. He starts taken down some paintings or pictures. You go, I like that. We don't like that anymore, Jack. We don't? I thought I did. That needs to die. He'll say to me, that needs to die. But I like it. No, that's got to go. All right. And then he starts tearing up the carpet. He starts going into closets. He starts moving stuff around, furniture out, new furniture in. I don't know if I like that chair. Well, you will when I'm done with it. And he shakes up your life. And I promise you this, you'll never doubt God's existence again if you just let him in to remodel. Remodel, that's putting it nicely. How about blowing the whole thing up and starting over?
That's one of my
blowing
favorites.
Blowing the whole thing up and starting over.
Like at the beginning, he says, put your helmet on and strap the chin strap.
I swear it's so true. I'll share just a piece of what I was feeling yesterday. I was like, I was totally discombobulated because the transformation is so dramatic for me that sometimes I feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience where like I don't even recognize the life that I'm living, and that if I get inside my head, it looks so different than what he's doing in my life that it's almost disorienting, like a bad sci-fi movie that I just have to let go and surrender to it because he's in control, and that's really basically what he wants from us, right? Is a surrendered life.
So hard.
It's hard.
We get so comfortable. It's like a comfortable, dirty blanket.
Yeah.
Like nasty. Like all my kids had something like that. Whether
the
it was,
binky.
Yeah, the binky. And it's just dirt. Like, no, why? Stop putting that in your mouth.
Now they have binky face masks.
Dirty. No, I'm not letting this. No. Like, and they get all angry and their face turns red. And no, I'm not getting rid of the debauchery. I like the debauchery. It's my friend. And Jesus saying, no, you don't need that anymore. What?
You really don't like that anymore. No, but I do.
I really love that.
No, you don't.
Oh, all right. So then Jack comes around to talking about sin again. I'll just start it up and then we'll have a little discussion afterwards.
Something about it cuts you off, holds you back, and continues on the course for you. What he did. He's our atonement. He's our substitute. He went there for us. And Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. Listen, Christian, every one of us today, we are supposed to reckon our lives crucified to Jesus. When something comes up, is it fear? Is it torment? Listen, and I mean it. I'm not being funny or cute here. Is it something as gruesome as you not being a Christian today and the doctor told you you've got a couple weeks? Then come to Jesus now, because listen, he was crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. The only way that you'll not go to heaven is if you reject his free offer of what he's done at the cross. He died for all manner of sin, the Bible says. There's one sin Jesus didn't die for. It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know what that is? It's to reject the gospel. He will not make you believe. But if you want to come to Christ, then you know what? He's going to say, you come to me. Just understand this. Who you are, Jack, you're going to die. You're going to die to your own commands and demands. You're going to die to your own passions and pleasures. And I'm going to animate your life. Please hear me when I plead with you to say, do that sooner rather than later. You'll only.
That's it.
That's it.
The thing that gets me is that is it the dual sword or the double edged sword? Maybe I'm not sure if this is a good
sharper than a two edged sword.
Yeah, it's just like you got the one side that he goes, it's a free gift.
Yes, it is great. You're gonna love it.
And then, but if we deny it and don't accept it, then you got the other side. Like then you go to
yes.
Hell.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's a good description, but it just seems like, why not? Like you think of people that are just like in denial and people that want to say that he doesn't exist. And what? It's free.
Take it.
It's the free offer of forgiveness. And
But it's not an easy work. It's not an easy
No, because you got to put the helmet on.
Yeah, yeah, it's really not. I mean, honestly, when I first signed up, it was so amazing.
When you first signed up, I'll be a Christian now.
Right? When he first talked to me and he's like, I am God, you know, Hedia, it's me. When I was crying out to God, I was like, oh my God. And I'm not going to have to worry about judgment day. And my sins are forgiven. Like, that was something I worried about my whole life as a Muslim. But then once the transformation started, I was like, oh, ow, this hurts. This is not so easy.
I want to be a biatch. I want to be a jerk. I want to be all these things.
It's like, it's my pinky.
Oh, and then he talks about that, you know, there's so many good clips. It was really hard to come down to the four or five that I decided to play. But when he talks about, you know, this guy's getting ready to die, like the doctor says, oh, you're getting ready to die. Oh, okay. And the doctors go, what? No, it's okay. I'm fine.
Just to live as Christ, to die as gain.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
And he plays through that scenario a couple of ways. And they go, I think that you need to be committed or something. Yeah, because you sound a little crazy. Right. Did you hear what I said? I said, you're going to die. Okay. When you finally give that total surrender. All right, let's come up to another clip. Again, I'll just let this play and then we'll have a discussion. It's actually, I think, another funny one. And it's so true. This is where you have the thoughts during service. All right, here we go.
The fiery darts.
Yeah.
Matters greatly. Because the truth of the matter is this. You can be in worship service, listening to the choir, and you're just having an amazing time. You can even feel the presence of God. It's just like, this is amazing. I'm so glad I came. And you're just, and then this thought goes right in your head. All of you can laugh because it happens to all of you. Don't give that nervous little laugh. It happens to every one of us. I can be preaching my heart out and then this, and it's like, what? Listen, that's a fiery dart sent by the enemy, and our thoughts are the first things to be attacked. And what you do, if that arrow hits you and you go, oh, wow, ooh, okay, you're in trouble. But if that arrow hits you and you go, what a minute, I don't want that, that's not me, I don't want anything to do with that. Lord Jesus, get that out of my head. Listen, because I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, listen, is this, oh man, Lord, in Jesus' name, get that thought out of my head. Out, Lord Jesus, please, in Jesus' name, get it out, out, out. You know how you got to push on it for a while? Out, out, get out, out, out. All right, thank you, Lord. Whew. Right, and then again, starts again, over and over and over again. When you're not a Christian, that doesn't happen. Become a Christian today. It's horrible.
And he has said in a different sermon, he's like, and once you do, and even when you do try to sin, it sucks. Like, you don't even enjoy it because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And inside he's like, why'd you do that? Didn't we talk about this already? Why are you doing that? And you're like, oh my God, this isn't even any fun anymore.
Jeez.
So just
so many good moments.
I just love the authenticity of the message and his authenticity of saying we all have it. We all struggle with temptation and we just have to scream at it to get out and we have to fight it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
What I loved about today's message, I have one more that we're going to go through, but was the highs and lows. Again, there's moments where I was tearing up. And there are moments where I was laughing my butt off, tearing up. And then there was this this is not easy.
Right?
Can we stop at Big Five and get a couple helmets?
Well, and isn't it also that there's this assurity that you're not alone? You're like, okay, I'm not going crazy. This feeling is bizarre. I mean, it's actually quite strange when you think about it. I think this is what he was talking about. If you go to a therapist where you say like the Holy Spirit is working through me, you could say that to a doctor, a secular doctor, and be like, okay, are you hearing voices? Do we need to get you some lithium? Like, you know what I mean? When you say that there's literally another force inside your body making you do things, it's a it's an out of body experience sometimes where you're just like, I don't even recognize what's happening right now. And that's what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to live. What this verse is, Galatians 2:20, is that it's no longer I who lives, but that Christ who lives in me. Mm. It's no longer I who lives.
All right.
And it's not claiming a perfection. It's just claiming that I just have no control over what happens anymore.
Perfect timing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're showing this.
Yeah, here we go.
Right?
Here we go.
Stay tuned.
He says, but Christ lives in me. That's a great declaration. But Christ lives in me. I struggled with, in my notes, I have but in red with underline. I didn't know how to say it. I'm just going to, in preparation for this, the word but here is so vitally important, but it's hard to say the word but because it sounds funny when I say this is an important but. It is a huge, it is a significant, it is a necessary, it is an overwhelming. You should, in your Bible, circle the word but because it changes everything. Oh, the world's coming apart, but Christ. I lost my job, it's all gonna end, but Christ. Listen, it's the answer. I mean it. This is not simplistic. But Christ is the answer to everything. I'm sorry, you don't have long to live. But Christ! Can you imagine if the doctor tells you tomorrow, you got 3 weeks. But Christ says, I'm going to live in him. Let's bring it on, doctor. What do I do next? Just go home. All right, come to my funeral. You'll hear the gospel. Look, 3 weeks. If I'm gone, you need to come, doctor. You need to hear about Jesus, okay? How can you do this? Are you delusional? Do you need a pill? No, but Christ lives in me. He's the hope of glory.
Oh, gosh, that was another one of my, and that was the part I was talking about earlier. I forgot that it was at the end of that particular section, but I feel that I went through that with the COVID when I was in COVID and they said, no, sign this paper. Okay. I wish I would have known. And I could have said, but Christ,
right?
Because since then I've described that moment where I was at peace is the best way I can put it. I did not want to die. I did not want to leave my children, but I was at peace understanding that if this is what it's supposed to happen and I wasn't afraid of it, I wasn't fearful. But Christ now makes total sense. And that's such a different place to be. I've shared too that as a kid, I was extremely fearful of death and would cry and like panic and have panic attacks about it. But Christ. Wow. And I never forget it because of the way that he described it in the beginning, because it was funny and I work off of funny. I do funny. Having a little bit of humor now is going to, I'm forever going to be able to remember, but Christ is. But it is really amazing. I mean, this whole thing is amazing. The devotional about love, about us talking about love last night, us talking about love at lunch today, how important it is and how different it is. And when you're doing it with God, you have the love of God and you love God, you love Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it changes how love works in your life. It's miraculous. It's a completely different world that you live. It's amazing.
I'm so glad I'm sharing it with you.
Yeah, me too. It's the perfect union at the perfect time.
Amen.
I'll get my back scratched a little bit later on.
Love languages.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Our love language. We were telling somebody our love language was touch and affirmation. That's mine and yours is?
Yours is touch and affirmation. Mine's affirmation. Words of affirmation, touch.
Yep. And so then when you rub my back, I tell you how amazing you are.
Exactly.
And it works out perfectly. Oh, my gosh. All right. Anything else on the devotional or church today? I mean, I started to and I didn't finish. But the greatness about church today was definitely just the roller coaster feeling. It keeps you gripped and he doesn't shy away from the difficult messages. And he was just so, I don't know. He was just so awesome today. he was in such a great mood.
Passionate.
Yeah.
And I guess my constant theme to people is forget about the church you went to as a child. Forget about what you grew up in. Forget your church hurt.
if somebody hurt you in church, or how it's negatively impacted your life, get a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that does not require a building, and that does not require people. It's a personal relationship with you and your Lord and Savior. As he says, it's a free gift. Strap on your helmet and go for the ride. It's amazing.
Yeah. Things are going to happen at church because the one thing that's it's common with every church is that it involves people.
People. It's a hospital.
And so things are going to happen. You're going to meet somebody at church. It's not going to work out.
I fought with an usher.
Yeah, she fought with an usher. They're telling you where to park and you don't want to park there. They're going, nope, you park. No. I don't want to park there.
I'm sorry, but can I explain this really dumb story today? So the church is so crowded and it's exploded in size. It's like tripled in size in the past 6 months. So God bless the people who serve there. And I realize the burden that's placed on them. But occasionally they take the rules a little extreme. So I'm in the ladies' room today and there's a hallway. And so there is now a attendant in the ladies' room. That's not just pointing out which stalls are open, but what way you can walk. So now they don't let you come in and out the same.
Really?
And yes. So she's like, no, you have to walk that way. And I was like, are we going to get instructions in the bathroom?
Yeah, parking.
Yes, yeah. Exactly like that. She's like, this way. No, walk that way. And I was like, this is a bit excessive, folks. But okay, I just smiled. And I was like, I'm just going to walk around. But yeah. So church, that's, I'm just referring to like church nonsense. Yeah. So I don't pay so much attention. Go for the message. Go to hear God's word. Go to worship. Raise your hands. Feel the Lord. Have the Holy Spirit descend. Don't neglect the communion of saints, which is in the Bible. And just go there for that experience. Just try to not pay attention to the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's not.
It doesn't matter where you go. Yeah. We love our church. It's an amazing church.
Yes.
I haven't had the same experiences as you.
Yeah,
must be your fiery hair.
I think it's my fiery. It's also, I got to get used to, the Bible makes references all the time. Do not take offense.
Yeah.
And so I get my feelings hurt way too often. And that's something obviously that the Lord's trying to burn out of me. But I managed to go and have like the most amazing experiences hearing the word of God in any church. When you go into it saying, Lord, speak to me, I want to hear from you. I want to commune with you. I want to be in your presence. You'd be surprised at the experiences you can have.
Yeah. And I just caught myself going,
that's good. Amen. Yes, Lord.
I gotta stop doing that. That annoys the crap out of me.
Oh, it's so cute. I think I'm gonna get you the matching Jesus Freak shirt that I have. Toby Mac made these great shirts that just say Jesus Freak on it. I'm gonna get you.
Oh my gosh. We sat next to a woman today that we've met a couple times.
Yes.
Each time we've sat next to her, we've been on a different stage of our walk, I think. Like, I don't remember exactly.
We just met, we were engaged, now we're married.
Right. She's like, every time I come to church, you guys are like, you just met, then you were engaged, and then you got married. Like, well,
within and I told her, that's the last stage you're going to witness.
Yeah, there's no other stages.
That's it. No plan B.
No pregnancy.
No.
Yeah.
No separation, no divorce, no nothing. Yeah, tell the grave digger to dig too. That's it.
That's it. That's the only transition. That's the last transition. We're meeting Jesus.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. What a great day. Thank you, Hedia, for doing today with me.
Thank you for doing life with me.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. Oh, and she's going to be listening. Hopefully she listens to this podcast. What? Do you remember her name?
I hope so. And yes.
Should I have done the best? I'm so sorry.
We're both so bad with
But
we love you.
Yeah.
Remind us, if you listen to this later, please put your name in the comments.
Yeah, we're horrible. I can tell you, I don't remember my children's names. So don't.
Yeah.
Don't,
what's your face?
So, yeah. Don't. I'm just like my parents in that way. That is really the horrible part about it. I go through all the, whatever child that I'm talking to is always the last name I get to. Why is that? It either works up or it works down. Like if it's Kelly, I start with Bo, Red, Ray, Courtney, Kelly. Why is that?
It's part of growing old, I think. Mm. Oh yeah, no, sorry. I know you're really super young.
How dare you?
But yeah, the rest of us. Anyways,
all right, my friends, all of you that were watching, come on, put in a little comment. Just say hi when you get a chance. When you park your car, or if you're probably all driving home from church, let us know who you are, what you thought. thoughts on the, if you went to service, let us know what you thought about service too, what your highlights were and that kind of stuff. I can't wait till we really hone in on this, this part of our show. I love doing the review.
On the after action review. Yeah. Absolutely. I love it.
I know there's something here with the, there's something here and we're going to get it. We're going to narrow it down. It's going to be awesome.
Well, you're the creative mind between the two of us. I'm just the Robin to your Batman.
So. I like that. I'd rather Catwoman to my Batman.
Catwoman.
Yeah, yes. Because the other one's not biblical. It's not biblical.
I'm Catwoman to the Batman.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Come on.
So true.
All right, my friends. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. We know it's a late. We know it's afternoon. Yes. But that's because we are busy at church and lunch.
Yes. Enjoy the rest of your day and God bless you.
All right. Take care. Bye.